This is Wendy Anderson. It's June 1st, 2017, and I'm here with Barbara Clark at Raven Landing. So, Barbara, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born?
Well, I was born in Lafayette, Indiana, and my father was a minister there at the Baptist Church. And when I was about two, we moved to Kalamazoo. He had given up the ministry and was a history professor. From then on, we lived in a house on the campus of Kalamazoo College, which like a seminar house. And the campus was our playground, and we had a wonderful time as kids, climbing ladders and getting into buildings and playing hopscotch and whatnot on the campus. And falling in love, of course, with all the football players. So that's where I lived until I was in senior in high school, when my father died and we moved to St. Joe, Michigan.
Okay.
So, and then after that, when I got married, I lived in Indiana again, Fort Wayne. And then we moved to Houghton, Michigan, to when my husband at that time was called to be engineering head of department, so electrical engineering.
At Michigan Tech?
At Michigan Tech. So I lived the rest of my life up until recently there.
And what did you do in Houghton?
Among other things, I was a teacher in Houghton High School and taught biology. Strangely enough, I had not taught since I was married, until the kids got old enough to be in college and or to be out in school. And then by that time, during that interval, DNA had been discovered, and the whole biological science was totally upended, and I was totally lost. But it worked out all right, and for several years I taught at Houghton High School. Ultimately, I retired from Houghton High School, and I wasn't retirement age yet, but with a little controversy with the principal, I decided this was not for me. So then I got another job as a science teacher in another little high school in an outlying village. So that was a lot more fun. But my career, if you want to call it that, was probably more volunteer, this, that, and the other, than it was paid business.
What kind of things did you volunteer for?
Well, we bought some property that had about 100 acres of forest, and I got interested in forestry. It was going to be our little wilderness, but then I realized that with management of careful sorts, we could have an income from the forest and pay the taxes and whatnot, and that appealed to me, having a working forest. So I got interested in forestry, and then I got involved with an organization that was getting started that was trying to improve forest management on lands, public and private, in the three states of the Great Lakes, Michigan, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And I was representing small landowners, and there were the foresters. All the rest of them were foresters from national federal lands and from state lands, and industry foresters from large industry holdings. And unfortunately, I was elected chairman of the original committee that started the thing.
And what was the name of that? Do you remember?
That was the Lake States Forestry Alliance.
Okay.
And it was a rather prestigious position. I was way out of my water from the forestry angle, but that wasn't the point. The point was to try to get this group to work as a group. Mm-hmm. And so that lasted many years, and I did a lot of traveling back and forth between the monks of three states. And it was quite a... And I had responsibility for a newsletter, so our kitchen table was cluttered with pages that had to be collated and so forth. But that was a big part of my midlife. And then I got interested, or I got involved with the local politics. I ran for the state legislature and lost. And after that, I ran for the county commission and won, and was on the county commission for several years. And then I was I left that and was elected on the city commission, city council. So I've had a lot of experience with local government operations from the member of the council.
Was this level. The city council for Houghton?
It was for Hancock, actually.
For Hancock.
Hancock was across the
river.
Bridge.
The bridge, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't a river, it's a lake.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was, in the meantime, we purchased this land, and it was a very large part of our community, of our family operation, was rehabilitating a tumble-down log cabin and building a bridge across the creek, and a bridge that would hold our farm tractor.
Yeah.
And I worked hard to cut wood for, we were making sap, maple syrup from the sap from the trees. And we had to have a lot of wood for that. And the sauna and the cabin, all of everything heated with wood, of course. And so that was my summer job, was cutting wood and stacking it and filling the woodshed, the various woodsheds.
Besides maple, what trees did you grow?
Well, we had maple and red maple and hard maple and spruce and tamarack and elm and a bunch. We had to go through and take the elm out because we had elm Dutch disease coming in. We wanted to save the valuable wood because it would rot out if we left it. But that camp was quite a focal point for my later years, and one of the most influential, one of the things that I hated to leave. But then when my husband died, I couldn't handle it by myself. And in fact, we couldn't handle it as a couple as we got older. So we sold the property, and that was really heartbreaking. But it had to be done. And I was very happy when my husband suddenly died that I didn't have that to worry about.
Do you know what happened to the property since then?
We sold it to a man and his two sons from the Lower Peninsula. And we had an offer that was higher from a guy that wanted to cut the trees. And we didn't want to sacrifice and cut it up into 40-acre lots, and no way. So that's all I know.
Yeah.
And then the depression or the recession came, and I never heard from them. We did actually go out there again just to walk through. In fact, I buried my husband's ashes in the woods that we had planted, spruce trees. So that was very important. And with that background and enjoying ski trails and the cold winters that we had in Michigan, it was no big cultural shock to come to Alaska. The Upper Peninsula is sparsely populated and dependent very heavily on natural resources.
A lot more snow, though, than
Fairbanks. A lot more snow, yeah. We used to have a snowbank that was probably 4 feet deep between our house and the outhouse, which, of course, had to be traveled in slippers every now and then.
What brought you to Alaska, then?
Well, it was probably mostly my daughter lives here. I have four kids, but of the four, this family seemed to be most compatible. And besides, we had visited her here in Alaska two or three times, and so it wasn't a total shock. And I'm glad. We have four grandchildren. They all live here, and either here or in Anchorage. So it was the best place, I thought, to settle. But it's so darn far from everywhere else. One son's in Southern California, one's daughter is in Long Island, and another one's in New Hampshire, and my brother's in Virginia. So it's really isolated here.
You're spread out over the whole country.
Yeah, and from sea to shining sea.
Yeah. So, any other stories about your past you want to tell about, like your parents or your ancestors?
Well, my father was, as I grew up in school, my father was a history professor at the college, and he was the designated freshman counselor. Oh. And so every Sunday night, my mother would entertain 20 or so freshmen, and my father would sit at the piano and sing songs, and we had popcorn and or cookies or whatever, brownies and cocoa. And it was pretty exciting for me as a junior high kid to have all these wonderful, love-grown men and women come to the house every week. And so that was important. My dad was very concerned with the Jews, the Holocaust, and what was going on in Europe. And I remember coming, he would take over the radio, our little Philco radio, Gothic radio, every evening to hear H.V. Kaltenborn. And that was something that we grew up with, as an active interest in current events. So and that stuck with me. I'm still anxious to get home from dinner because it's get there in time for the news program. We've had, John and I had some pretty horrendous excitement on a couple of occasions in connection with canoeing. Canoeing was a favorite thing. Before we got the camp, we did a lot of camping and traveling, but after we got the camp, took all our energy. But our canoes were, we sank in Lake Superior once.
Oh my goodness, that's cold.
It was very cold. And actually we were hypothermic. It was pretty dangerous. But we survived. And thank goodness we didn't have kids with us. And another time we were canoeing down in two canoes with two kids in each canoe. A little kid, a little boy, and a daughter and junior high age, and as we went around a bend, there was a fall into the river, and I went around the bend, and my husband got caught in the trees that was hanging over, and as I went on, I tried to stop. It was a glacier swollen river, cold as bloody devil. And very fast and very deep, and they had steep banks on the sides, and we were able to get close to the bank and get my daughter to jump out and hang on to a bush and the rope, and we got stopped, but the other canoe was not, didn't come. And so that was quite an experience, and getting our two canoes back together and getting all of us back to the car, which was somewhere else.
Sure.
And it was a very hairy experience.
Have you ever written that story down?
No.
I've heard this story from you before, and it's pretty amazing that you all survived.
Yeah, we were on the narrow brink there for a while. It was really something to see my son come floating down the river with a life jacket on, thank goodness.
Yeah. And you were able to grab him.
To grab him, yeah. Out in the middle of the stream. Oh.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's pretty much what.
And where was this incident where you swamped the canoe, or your husband swamped his canoe?
That one where it went into the trees was in
Montana?
It was the national park. It wasn't Yellowstone. It was
Glacier?
No,
Grand Tetons?
Grand Tetons.
Ah, okay.
National Park.
Okay.
And then it was Yellowstone. I don't know if it was Yellowstone or the one of those rivers that emptied the glaciers and go through the... we finally got... out of that with the help of a local farmer who was out in his marsh checking out the irrigation system. The river was flowing right through the, as it went around the corner, it didn't stay in the bank.
Oh.
And we got hung up out there. Then we had to get back to our car, and we had to get car back to where we could take the canoes out. And it was a long story.
Yeah. So when you moved to Fairbanks, did you move right into Raven Landing, or did you live for...
I lived for about 2 years, I guess, a year and a half. When I came... One of the reasons that I chose Alaska was because of the promotion of this place. It hadn't been built yet. It hadn't even had all its finances.
Ah.
It was, you know, definitely in the planning stage or in the hopeful stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very interested in it, and I got a part-time job volunteer in the office where they were sent, where the whole program was located,
where they were planning,
where they were doing the planning.
Oh.
And filed and did, you know, menial work there, dusted the flowers,
helped with the development plan for Raven Landing.
Yeah. And then when they opened this, I was among the first two, I think, people to move in. I was living in Willow Woods apartments.
Oh, okay.
And at that time, my car was sitting out. It had a plug-in, but it was just out in the wide open space.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty bad using the car in the winter. But then when I moved here, I moved into a garage, and boy, that was just heavenly.
So you lived in RL1 then?
I lived in RL1. That's all there was.
Sure.
And then when this place was built, my room was right over there, and I didn't particularly like the view anymore. And this place opened up, and this room was available, and it had a bathtub, so that appealed to me. So now I'm in one of the very, very few rooms that have bathtubs.
Ah, I didn't realize that any had bathtubs.
Yeah. Most of the rooms had the walk-in showers.
Right.
And right now I wish mine was a walk-in shower.
Oh.
It's hard to get in and out.
Yeah. So is there anything else, any other fond memories or exciting times in your life that you would like to have recorded for posterity?
Well, I think I would like to emphasize and reinforce the idea of becoming active in local politics. Politics is no better or worse than the people who go into it, who try. But it's how government works. Government develops policy and all that stuff, but if it isn't the guys that are on the ground floor implementing and going along with or objecting to the way the higher authorities are operating, you get what you ask for.
Yeah.
And it's important, terribly important, for people to be involved.
Have that good leadership.
Mm-hmm. So I think that my public involvement is probably my most significant contribution to society.
Yeah.
The one thing about being here is that it's, you're pretty much, you feel like a leech on society. There's nothing, no contribution to speak of. It's just, you're there and you're taking up space and you're eating, consuming goods. And it's not very exciting.
Yeah. So what kind of things do you do here at Raven Landing?
Well, I participate in pretty much every exercise program that we have, except Tai Chi. I can't stand that. And I play in the harmonica group, which is going to play this afternoon.
Oh, that's right.
And I sing in the choir, and I play in the chime choir, so I get quite a bit of music, for which I thank my parents, because they both were piano players, and I attended lessons for a couple of years, but they never sank in.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed the instrumental. I've played the bassoon, and played in the Kalamazoo Symphony for a while, and
wow,
and enjoyed that very much. And I enjoy classical music now. I think our orchestra is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
It really is way beyond what we deserve.
What you would expect in an isolated town.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And so that's...
Well, thanks. It's been great talking to you.
Well,
this has been a fun interview. Thanks so much.
Thank you.